1. Never had 221B Main Street, Stoneham, New Hampshire, seen so many people enter its doors. Instead of customers arriving for a book signing at Haven't Got a Clue, the village's vintage mystery bookstore, this gathering was of friends, sort of relatives, and business associates from the local Chamber of Commerce. It was also Tricia's first stab at entertaining more than one or two people. Perhaps, she thought, as another guest entered the newly refurbished living room of her loft apartment, she should have started with a more modest get-together. The space had more recently been a storeroom filled with shelves and boxes full of vintage mysteries. That stock now resided in the basement, which had also been renovated. The open concept space was now bright, inviting, and, more importantly, felt like home.
"Isn't this a wonderful party?" Pixie Poe called, Trisha's newly married assistant.
Pixie looked radiant in a vintage, black, tight-fitting cocktail dress with a beaded bodice. Where she continually found those flirtatious frocks was a mystery to Trisha, but the style fit her to a T. "Thanks for making the Music Mix CDs. They're perfect for a cocktail party."
"When it comes to entertainment, you can't beat Der Bingle, Frank, Dino, Tommy Dorsey, and the boys."
Before Trisha could reply, Angelica swooped past with a brightly polished silver tray of stemmed wine glasses filled with Chardonnay.
"We've run out of red," she called as she began worming her way through the crowd.
Trisha's former assistant and now step-niece and adopted little sister, Ginny Wilson Barbero, had donned an apron that Angelica must have supplied and was passing around yet another silver tray with salmon cucumber rosettes. They looked adorable on the frilly paper doily-covered platter, just as Trisha had hoped they would. As she passed by the floor-to-ceiling antique mirror that stood against the east wall of her new digs, Trisha noted she looked pretty good, too, considering she'd spent an hour or so crying her eyes out after returning from the cemetery. But now that the trial was behind her, she was determined not to think about it or Christopher's killer. When redecorating the apartment, she had allowed herself to display one framed photo of Christopher and her, taken on their honeymoon in Cancun, but that was it. She'd even stopped wearing his engagement ring on a chain around her neck. She now thought of herself as free to move on with her life, and the party was one big step in that direction. Contractor Jim Stark and his team had finished their work on the transformation more than a month before, but Trisha had wanted to settle in, finding just the right places to set her treasures, some of which had been boxed up for years, and, more importantly, to test the recipes she'd serve at her first, and possibly only, big bash, the ones she'd fed to her pseudo-family at their weekly Sunday dinners. Nobody had complained, and in fact the praise had been effusive, which had given her a much-needed boost of confidence in her burgeoning culinary skills. Trisha headed toward the dry bar she'd set up on a vintage, glass-topped patio table. It had been a housewarming gift from Pixie and her groom, Fred Pillins, and it went perfectly with the eclectic furnishings she'd chosen. Although the table was laden with the best alcoholic spirits, Trisha decided she'd better keep a clear head. She plunked some ice into an old-fashioned glass, poured club soda from an opened bottle, and took a sip.
Great party,
Russ Smith said from behind Trisha, startling her.
Hi, Russ. So glad you could make it.
Although he certainly hadn't dressed for such a party, wearing instead his usual attire of a plaid flannel shirt and rather grungy jeans. His only concession was a tired-looking corduroy sport coat with leather patches on the elbows that he'd probably worn since college. "Is Nikki here, too?" Russ tipped his glass, with what looked like scotch in it, toward his wife, who was standing near one of the windows overlooking Main Street and conversing with Franny.